I'm Charlie Shelton Ormond. This is Tested from WUNC, a look at how North Carolina is dealing with COVID-19 and what we're learning about ourselves in the face of a global crisis. Today, closing the gap. The demographic breakdown of COVID-19 cases remains a grim reminder of rampant racial health disparities in our nation. For Black and Latinx communities especially, the consequences of longstanding gaps in healthcare have been intensified by the pandemic. It's a problem Governor Roy Cooper has on his radar.
I want to be clear that there's nothing inherent to Black or brown people that makes them more susceptible to severe COVID-19 illness. The data should not be used to further racism or fear. The disparities because people of color have had historically had less access to health care, housing, economic opportunity, and more. This virus is exploiting those inequalities, and it's up to us to do something about it.
The governor signed an executive order Thursday that aims to alleviate some of the socioeconomic and health outcomes caused by COVID-19 within communities of color. Mitigating these gaps would almost certainly help reduce the case count among North Carolina's Latinx population. Hispanics account for nearly 40% of confirmed COVID-19 cases here, while only making up about 10% of the total population. But there are several barriers prohibiting Latinx folks from getting adequate testing and treatment during the pandemic.
A lot of our community members, from what I understand, are very fearful of not just going to different spaces to get tested, but also coming back with a positive result, not just because of the understandable risk of having COVID, but also how that's going to affect their work, how that can affect their families, and that information, how is that going to affect their future.
Eliasar Posada is the Community Engagement and Advocacy Director for El Centro Hispano. That's a Latinx advocacy group in the Triangle. He says a hesitation to get tested for many served by his organization largely boils down to trust.
We've also heard a lot of that conversation about how is my information going to be used? How is it going to be distributed? What is it going to be used for? Right. And we have a couple of cases where we've had conversations with community members and we're consistently helping. Right. Not only do a lot of our community members not have the ability to go and get health insurance due to their status, or they're not able to qualify to certain programs due to their immigration status. We also have folks who in their health department might not have someone who speaks Spanish, right? And there might be a lot of monolingual Spanish speakers who won't go to those clinics or those health departments because this is not going to be a place that they can receive the care they need.
As a way to offer more Latinx folks access to medical care, El Centro Hispano has employed a mobile health unit to travel around North Carolina and parts of its neighboring states.
It's basically a mobile doctor's office that we take to all over North Carolina, part of South Carolina, Virginia, and Tennessee, mostly providing some like rural health assessments and having conversations about health with Latinx and other folks of color, primarily in areas with limited healthcare options. So as soon as we saw this going, we knew that there was going to be a push for testing. And not just having the option there, but having an option that a lot of community members could actually trust.
So as you've been offering these services and talking with folks in the community as, you know, a part of that process, what have you heard from folks about life during the pandemic? You know, what have they been sharing with you about the ways COVID-19 is affecting their day-to-day lives?
So I have a person that I talked to myself. When we first started doing testing, he works at a restaurant in Raleigh, and his biggest concern was being able to not only, you know, be healthy and stay healthy for him and his family, but also he had a concern of being a pariah at work or losing his job. And with the inability to apply for unemployment, that presents a very big risk. Thankfully, we were able to get him a test. He came back with a negative result, which is good, but it showed us a lot of what community members were talking about, because it wasn't the first time we heard it, and it's certainly not the last time we heard it. But we do have a case where we're helping out a couple of families in the Triangle who have received a positive result. We know that the number of Latinx folks being tested positive for COVID is on the increase. And part of our work with these families is to be able to help them have what they need. We know that folks are, they don't want to leave their home because they don't want to expose anyone. But how do you get food then, right? How do you get the groceries? And that's where we've been trying to play a role. There's a couple of cases also we're seeing that even after folks get past COVID, right, it's also affecting their way of life because they were positive at one point, right? We have a case where a woman, we helped her through to the virus. She was able to recover. She was healthy and then went to a clinic to get just a checkup. And she felt like she was discriminated against. A scene was created when she came in and, you know, just like anyone else, signed up and is waiting to be called. But she was kicked out of the lobby, even though she's there to get medical attention, right? We stepped in, right? We spoke to the to folks in the clinic. And the intention, from what we understand, was not to be discriminatory, but it was like, oh my God, COVID is a big thing right now. You had it. We don't want to expose anyone. But the message and the practice was lost. That's one of those things that we want to make sure that folks understand that, that this is real, right? So not only in the getting tested and knowing what folks are experiencing, what they're getting tested and what they're looking at. And then afterwards, what are some things that might happen? And we want to make sure that we're there for folks throughout the entire process.
Last week, Durham County reported a startling uptick in cases among Latinx folks and said many of the cases are tied to the construction industry. And I'm wondering, are Latinx workers in specific industries getting the right equipment like PPE and the right support needed to stay safe and healthy?
What we've seen is not only is it hard for folks to acquire this material, right? So because the usually places that we would think to send people don't have it, right? Go to the Walmart, go to the pharmacy or whatever,
right?
You go and they have empty shelves. So not only is it hard for folks to go to traditional places to get this material or these equipment, but also we need to go through the hurdle of, well, I feel fine, so I don't need to wear a mask, right? So it's not only telling people the importance of, you know, wearing personal protective equipment, but also why it's important and why it's needed, right? So part of our conversation has been, it's not really about protecting yourself as much as protecting the community. And then we're also looking at a lot of our Latinx community are in those frontline workers that, you know, don't have all the flexibility of taking, you know, sick leave or have so much income so that they can take a couple of hours off of work, and people working construction and all over these areas where, you know, these are folks who are still continuing to work because they're essential workers. Now the question is, how do we make sure that they receive this personal protective equipment so that we don't continue to see an uptake? We do believe that employers need to start providing those equipment to their employees, but also in areas where cities are putting this requirement for masks, which we agree with, we think it's important, but same thing, as well as telling people they have to have it, providing folks the resources to have it.
You mentioned earlier immigration status playing a role in people's ability to have, you know, adequate health care. Does people's immigration status influence their comfort level when it comes to getting tested or even just talking about the virus?
Yes. The simple answer is yes. The long answer is, whether it's when they're trying to get a test, which up until recently, you couldn't get it for free if you didn't have a social security number. Again, having the conversation about how my information is going to get used and who's going to receive this information is a fear.
Right.
It's about, you know, folks have lost their jobs in this pandemic and they need help paying rent. They need help paying for utilities or for food or for everyday expenses that they're not able to cover. You know, there's several programs that have been created through aid packages for the federal government and the state government, which also have a limitation on who can and cannot apply for those. The easiest example is the stimulus checks that came out that a lot of families across the U.S. used to meet their needs. Folks who do not have a social security number, mm-hmm, or come from mixed status families did not receive that aid.
So DHHS reports that Hispanics make up 39% of confirmed COVID-19 cases, but those cases are just broken down by Hispanics and non-Hispanics when it comes to ethnicity. What else do we need to know from the data in order to provide better resources to the Latinx community?
Very important question that we need to have more data. One of the things that we've been asking experts and leaders in the different health services is, what is demographics look like? We recently got the numbers of broken down by some demographics, but we need more. I don't need someone's address, but I need to know general area where, especially if there's more folks around that area who is getting infected with COVID, so that we can do some targeted outreach. And we think there should be more accessible to, specifically folks who are trying to work to do this outreach. If we know where folks are getting the virus and at what numbers, and specifically if they're increasing, we can help do some of that outreach work, right? We can help provide some information to folks. And, El Centro has made a partnerships with local mask makers. We can provide some, but we need to know, where folks are getting the virus, and, how to be able to do that comes down to the data.
Eliasar Posada is the Community Engagement and Advocacy Director for El Centro Hispano. Hang tight. More in a moment.
Tested is a production of North Carolina Public Radio, WUNC. And this is a good time to say thanks to everyone who supports WUNC. Whether you're an individual donor or a business, we can't say thank you enough for providing us with the resources and opportunity to serve the state of North Carolina with up-to-the-minute news and information. Everyone at WUNC is working around the clock to do just that at this unique and perilous moment in our history. And we couldn't manage without your help. So thanks, and if you are able, please go to WUNC.org if you want to donate for the first time or to maybe increase your support.
Lowering the case count in Latinx communities doesn't only involve increasing health services. It also starts with providing news and information in Spanish.
Bienvenidos a un nuevo episodio de Latinos en la Pandemia, el primer podcast de Enlace Latino sobre nuestra comunidad en Carolina del Norte. Hoy es jueves 30 de abril.
This crisis increased their vulnerability to disinformation and lack of information in Spanish.
Paula Jaramillo is a co-founder of Enlace Latino NC. It's a digital news outlet that delivers content entirely in Spanish.
Now it's more important than ever that the information needs of our community are met. During a pandemic like that, this is even more critical because most of the information that comes is in English. It is important to understand what happened in the state policy, but in your language, because this allows the community to make informed decisions and participate.
Paula says it's crucial for Enlace Latino NC to offer news through more than just online articles. They also connect with their audience through a WhatsApp distribution list and a COVID-19 podcast.
Pero por otro lado también existe el miedo. La comunidad latina representa casi el 40% del total de contagios en el estado. Un porcentaje desproporcionado.
We think that the podcast has a way to reach out to Latinos, especially in rural areas, or the construction workers, or the workers in the services that have no time or the opportunity to read. Many Latinos listen to radio, and we have no attention, but the podcast is coming, no? In addition, there is no other Spanish podcast in the States, in Spanish.
These services from Enlace Latino NC also help build community support for Latinx families. For example, a second grader in Durham passed away this week from complications tied to COVID-19. Her name was Aurea Soto Morales. She was the first reported child in North Carolina to die from the virus.
She was to the doctor who told her that she has an infection. But when she come back to home in the car, she passed out on the way home. From there, she was taken to the UNC hospital For 2 days, she fight for her life, but she died in June 1st. Everything happened very quickly.
Paola tells me Aurea is being remembered as a very bright and happy girl. She was 8 years old. Enlace Latino NC, along with several other media outlets, has shared information on a GoFundMe campaign to help Aurea's family. The account currently has more than $37,000 from donations. That's it for Tested today. I'm Charlie Shelton-Orman. Dave DeWitt will be back this time next week. Lindsay Foster-Thomas is our executive producer. Brent Wolf is WUNC's news director. Thanks for listening. See you next time.